The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In a shake-up of our social welfare system, higher-earning employees who lose their jobs will be entitled to up to double the rate of the current dole payment. Is it fair? Is it viable? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Colette Bennett, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland, and by economist Colm McCarthy. Good morning and welcome to you both. Colette, we'll start with you. It does seem, if you've been paying a lot into a fund, that maybe, you know, you get a bit more out of it than is currently on offer.
Well, you raised two very good questions there, Pat. Is it fair and is it viable? We heard back in September, just before the budget, from the minister, who said that it was impossible. It just was unaffordable that we could have a social welfare rate increase that would actually make up for the cost of living increases. And what we saw was an increase of €12 when what was needed was a minimum of 20. We're now hearing from the same minister that it is possible to pay up to €450 a week in social welfare for a certain cohort of workers. So, you know, it's incredible that would be the case. And certainly, if what is necessary is €450 a week to live on, then we need to be looking at, well, how do we make that fair for everybody? How do we make sure that those who are most marginalised, that can least absorb income shocks, are actually being protected in a social insurance system that should be designed to do exactly that? Yeah. In terms of then, is it viable? That's a serious question that Social Justice Ireland would have, because, you know, there needs to be new money to pay for any new type of tier or type of scheme that might come under the social welfare system. So again, if the money wasn't in the pot to make sure that people had enough to live on in September, where is this money coming from? Now, we've seen that there is a kind of a bumper revenue. It's almost 13 billion higher in the first 10 months of this year than had been in the previous the same period last year. But again, that's coming from three main sectors. It's coming from income tax, it's coming from VAT, and it's coming from corporation tax. Now, we've seen that the tech sector has had a lot of income shocks in the last short while, and that makes up for 21% of all corporation tax and 12% of all income tax. So those two bumper taxes are currently volatile. And as for VAT, we're all paying for that. We're all responsible for that increase, because as we've seen with cost of living increases, you know, if we're paying more for our goods and services, then we're obviously paying more VAT on those goods and services.
I mean, they have pledged not to be using taxes that may not be permanent. In other words, some of the corporation tax that is currently paid, they don't anticipate that that will be there forever. Therefore, they have pledged not to embark on spending that will go on forever, i.e. increases in any kind of benefits, using that money. That would have to be other money. That's the first thing. But the second thing is that, you know, people who have been paying a huge amount of PRSI because they've been earning a lot, obviously, most people live up to whatever income they have. If you're single and young and so on, you might live up to an income of €300 a week. If you've been working a longer time and you have commitments, you'll be living up to a higher income, and the shock, if you lose your job, will be all the greater.
That's certainly true. It's also true, however, that we have a very high savings rate at the moment. We've a savings rate of over 19%. Now, obviously, if you have higher income, you're more likely to be saving. That's not an average across the board. Not everybody can afford to save almost 20% of whatever income they're getting. So it means that higher earners have a cushion that lower earners don't. And again,
that's a big assumption.
That's
a big assumption. What you're saying is that people who are earning big money, but who are profligate and don't save anything, they would get the 450, and those who had savings would not, because they've been wise. Is that really, you know, fair either? That you beggar the people who've got a few bob in the bank?
Not at all. What I said was, based on the data coming from the central bank and the analysis coming from the central statistics office, what we're seeing is that we have a very high rate of savings. We know, for example, and again coming from the central statistics office, that those who are in very low incomes can't afford to have very high savings rates. So they don't have a cushion that higher earners would have. So when we come back to your first question of is it fair, again, that needs to be considered.
Yeah. What about fairness for people who pay a lot in PRSI and get the same as people who pay very little in?
Well, we pay social insurance, so it's the same. This money is coming from a social insurance fund, so it's the same analogy as a car insurance fund. Irrespective of how much insurance you pay, what you're looking for is that you will be protected in the event of a crash. So when we apply,
you're being a little bit disingenuous there, because if, for example, you go for a very sophisticated plan in your health insurance, for example, you get more benefits. You pay more, you get more benefits. If you go for the basic plan, you get benefits, but not very sophisticated benefits. They'll get you through the door of the hospital, maybe not much more. But if you pay the big money for insurance, you get a lot more benefits. Now, in the PRSI, if you're paying a lot of money in, surely you should expect a little bit better treatment than someone who pays very little in.
I could talk to you all day, Pat, about the inequalities in the healthcare system and how that two-tiered system is not ideal, and how what happened during the pandemic was an equivalization of the healthcare system, where people were dealt with in accordance to their need. Similarly, we had a social welfare system during that same time that looked at what people actually needed to live on and paid that. And that is really what we're looking for here. It's not about setting up another two-tiered system. It's about making sure that those who can least absorb income shocks are being protected.
And you heard Michael Taff there in the news headlines saying, look, they do this all over Europe. We're the outlier. What do you say to that? In other words, in Europe, where, they pay a lot more taxes, they also tend to, mind people a bit better when they fall on hard times. We're the outlier.
We are the outlier because when we don't pay very high taxes overall. I'm not talking just about income tax. I'm talking, in the grand scheme of our taxation system. But and the other side of that is we don't have the type of services that they have. We don't have subsidised childcare. We don't have, highly subsidised transport. We don't get the same social services as other European countries. So, Michael is right in that regard, and we would be pushing for that, certainly, in addition to a fair and adequate social welfare system.
Okay, Colin McCarthy, listening to all of this, what is your take on what the minister is proposing? Colin? Hello, Colm. We shall attempt to go back to Colm in a moment, because one of the big things as an economist, I'm sure he'd be looking at affordability, as Colette mentioned there. Can we afford to do this if we couldn't afford to give a slight hike in social welfare benefits in the time of the budget? Where is the money going to come from to more than double the payment that would be made to people on higher earnings? Now, the maximum that will be paid is 450. So it'll be interesting to see, what Heather Humphreys regards as a high income. Do we have Colm or not? Yes, we have. Colm, just your take on what the minister's proposing. Colm, yeah? Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello?
Excellent. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now, your take on what the minister's proposing.
It's interesting. A number of European countries have a system where various payments out of the social insurance system are pay-related, notably pensions, which is a much bigger payout than would be the payout to a smallish number of high earners who lose their jobs. But our system, by and large, is a system of flat-rate payouts, and it has a strong redistributive effect for that reason. So it'd be interesting to see the details of what the minister is, according to the Irish Independent anyway, is proposing, and we haven't seen them yet. The other point, though, is that the Social Insurance Fund doesn't exist, which is a bit of a snag. It's a book entry in the Department of Finance. There isn't a great big treasure chest with an accumulation of money in it. It's just an accounting thing. And it looks as if the Social Insurance Fund is going to go into heavy deficit in the years ahead. There was a recent report that predicted that. And the reason is because the government has bottled it on the pension age. They had planned to let the pension age rise in line with life expectancy and so on. They've decided not to do that. and that means much bigger outgoings than are covered by the current rates of contribution. So it's hard to know how to react to this proposal. It'd be nice to have a careful look at the details and also at the costings. How much per annum is this going to cost? And will this feed into potential problems with the public finances in the years ahead? We know that government expenditure on debt service is going to go up. Interest rates are going up. Government's the biggest debtor around. And the short-term outlook for the public finances is fine because of the boom in corporation tax revenues. But we all know that that's pretty iffy in the medium term.
Now, the question is whether or not this payment, a maximum of 450 is what is being reported, whether or not that is a temporary little arrangement. In other words, you have it for 6 months while you're trying to get a new job.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the high earners, if you're dropped down to 220 or whatever it might be, or 300 or 450, if you've been earning, you know, more than a grand a week or even beyond that, even after tax, taking home a lot more than the 450, you're going to want to get back into employment as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, you are. And as a general rule, the incidence of long-term unemployment is lower amongst people who have very good technical qualifications and good experience and so on. So that's certainly true. And people do self-insure, in the sense that people who have a bit of money to spare may well save a bit, as
Gillette was mentioning,
was mentioned earlier on. However, any of these once-off proposals, they need to be looked at in the context of the overall system of taxation and distribution of welfare payments. And any individual proposal will tend to look attractive. Somebody will think, I might benefit from that, so I'm in favor of that. Or somebody else might think, well, I wouldn't benefit from that, so I'm against it. But the overall system, I think, has to be looked at as a whole and against a context where a lot of people in the younger age group, say 20-30s age group, their biggest headache now is the non-affordability of housing, which I think is a bigger worry for a lot of them than the prospect of losing their job for a few months.
So if there's cash to spare, that's where it should go. Colm, thank you very much for joining us, economist Colm McCarthy, and before that, Colette Bennett, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.